All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you, final edition of the show before the 2022 NFL Draft is finally here. Feels like even as drafts go, and they all seem like it takes forever for the draft to finally happen, it feels like this one is even later than usual. That one time they did it in May a few years ago, but of all the late April ones, I don't know, man, maybe it's just what else is going on in my life feeling like it's going slow or something, but my gosh, it's finally time. A week from today, as I record this on Thursday afternoon, the Bucks, as of now, with the 27th pick, the Jacksonville Jaguars, of course, with the first overall pick, and plenty of action in between all that. So, of course, we'll talk about that on the show today as we look ahead one final time. I guess next week's show will be, I'll wait till Friday, of course, so we can at least see what the Bucks do with the 27th pick, whether they end up keeping it or trading it. And we'll talk about both scenarios on the show today. But then we'll react, and of course the draft will go through the weekend there on Friday and Saturday as well. So thank you for joining us today. Thanks to the Joes of Joe Bucks Fan for giving me the platform. As always, I am incredibly grateful. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford. If you're looking for a new vehicle, pre-owned, or if you have a vehicle, by the way, things are pretty valuable right now, the way it's going in the used vehicle market, you can go see them either way and check them out. The website is spelled Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E. It's BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Check it out there. You can see all the inventory, brand new, pre-owned, car, truck, van, whatever it is. Completely transparent, no haggle online pricing. It's all right there for you. Go in person, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry, where they're on the east side of the road, just north of Hillsboro. Been there serving the Tampa Bay area for over 60 years. They're remodeling the whole thing, the showroom, already beautiful, but they're redoing that. The service center is going to get redone. You don't care about any of that, though. You care about what you can get done right now. So if you go down there right now, check everything out. Whatever you get is going to be subject to the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty, which means if you buy a car at Bill Curry Ford or a truck or a van, if it's new or pre-owned, okay, you're covered. Engine trouble, never a worry. Like, literally, as long as you're still the one that owns the car that you bought there, it could be years down the road. You bring it back, the powertrain warranty is going to take care of you. You don't have to worry or freak out about an expensive car repair. You get the first year service, oil changes, all that's covered. You get 10 years roadside assistance. You don't have to pay for AAA. They'll take care of all that. It's all included, so check it out. BillCurryFord.com or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. And thanks to that GM Sean Sullivan, by the way, huge draft guy. He's got a draft podcast on Joe Bucks Fan if you want to check that out, which is already posted, which is always extensive. I mean, Sean is one of those guys. You know, there's certain people, and he's the general manager. I mean, he runs an auto dealership, okay? This is a side that just in his free time, but he's one of those guys. Like, if he wanted to be a draft Nick type, he could absolutely do it. So I highly recommend listening to that show. And in the meantime, here we are, and the Bucks have... Let's lay out what the Bucks have, first of all. They've got six total picks, but they've only got four picks in the first four rounds, and then after that, you know, once you get down to the fifth, sixth, seventh round, I mean, that's almost the same as undrafted free agents. The Bucks don't have a fifth or a sixth round pick due to various trades. I think the fifth or the sixth rounder was Shaq Mason, the guard, was a hell of a deal. But, I mean, to me, better than anything you would have gotten in that round anyhow. But the point is, they've got, in order, first the round, then the overall spot. The first round, 27th overall pick. They've got the 60th overall pick. That's their second rounder. In the third round, the 91st overall pick. In the fourth round, the 133rd overall pick. And then nothing in the fifth or sixth rounds until you get down to the seventh round. They have two picks there, numbers 248 and 261 for whatever those are worth. So, looking at the scenarios, we talked about this last week, but wanted to lay it all out today just for what Jason Light might be thinking, and he gave a little talk to the media this week. He's naturally not going to say much, and he didn't say much. He said a couple of interesting things, though. But first of all, you've got a Bucks team here that has, as of right now, $4 million in cap space. And that's just for this year. You know, they've kicked some things down the road, so cap space in future seasons is even more dire. But right now, they've got $4 million. That's the fifth lowest of available cap space for any team in the NFL out of 32. So you've also got 67 players under contract. You're eventually going to have 90 in training camp. Obviously not big money, big name guys even outside the draft and your free agents and all that. But still, you've got Sue still out there if you believe the Bucks are still going to make that deal, and Sue certainly sounds like he wants to. And of course, you've got Rob Gronkowski still out there, so you don't have a ton of money to play around with. So what is cheap or cheaper for players on your roster? New guys, draft picks, right? Or unsigned free agents, of course. But, I mean, my point is, if the Bucks were to be able to trade down and turn, you know, right now they got, again, four guys coming in the top four rounds. Those are guys where you expect either they're going to be on the roster or they have a very decent shot to be on the roster. Whereas, you know, sixth, seventh rounders, if they don't make the team, whatever. But if you can increase the number of guys in that category, you know, first few rounds, those are guys who will eventually, we don't know their names yet, of course, but those are guys who would be on your roster not costing that much money. Rookie contracts, and of course, in the middle, low to middle rounds, lower priced rookie contracts. So, yeah, everybody always says this every year. I've read, I mean, Greg Allman wrote a very extensive and detailed piece on trade down scenarios for the Bucks. I mean, it was detailed. And, you know, obviously, if any, even one of those comes to pass, it'd be a huge, like, you know, I don't want to say one in a million, but it'd be a very low percentage shot that something he detailed in that piece comes to pass exactly how he detailed it. And he knows that, and yet he went through the work and did the piece, and it was an interesting and fun read, and I enjoyed reading it. Go check it out on The Athletic. But he did all these different scenarios and things like that, and they all sound great. I've seen other people do mock drafts where they've concocted these scenarios where the Bucks trade 27, and it's always a great deal for your team when you see like people that are either covering the Bucks or Bucks actual fans who provide these scenarios. It's always, oh yeah, we traded the 27th pick, we moved down four spots to number 31 or whatever, and we got a second and a third round, you know, stuff that isn't going to really happen in real life. But everybody makes all these scenarios, and in real life it's hard because, yeah, it sounds great, hey, let's trade down, we don't want anybody right now. Well, if there was anybody worth wanting, you probably would want them, and nobody else is going to want to trade up with you. Unless it's a positional thing, like, for example, quarterback, and this is where you can get some people, but, like, the Bucks aren't drafting a quarterback. So, I mean, they've got Kyle Trask waiting behind Tom Brady, and they supposedly believe he's the guy, the next guy. So, okay, fine. So maybe if you're sitting there at 27, and let's say all your targets that you would hope to get at 27 are gone, or there's people there at 27 that you still think you can get at, you know, 42 or whatever it is. Maybe one of these teams that... And, you know, who you got at quarterback. It's not a deep quarterback draft, but you got a couple guys going high, right? And even there, I'm not going to go that high. Malik Willis from Liberty, Kenny Pickett, the Pittsburgh guy. Let's say they go. But you got that second wave of guys. You get Sam Howell, Matt Corral, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, whoever it is. Let's say a team that needs a quarterback is sitting there, and they've already used their first-round pick, and they didn't go for one of those quarterbacks, but now they still would like one. Maybe that team trades up from somewhere in the 40s to get to 27, and you can drop down 10, 15 spots, whatever it ends up being, and maybe get a guy. And again, that's great if that happens. I mean, that's totally awesome. But I never get too wrapped up in the trade down scenarios because they're just too hard to predict until things get moving. And even as much, you know how much energy people put into all these pre-draft scenarios, talking to GMs off the record, on the record, the GMs themselves, they've talked to all these other people, again, on the record, off the record. Everybody thinks they have an idea of what everybody else wants to do. But again, nobody's going to really say out loud what they truly want to do. So until draft night happens, this is what makes the draft so fun, you know, because it's not an actual live sporting event, like no games are being played, no passes are being thrown or caught, nobody's getting tackled. But it does feel like real-life drama because you can't plot it out. For all the mock drafts and everything, there's going to be unexpected stuff. There's going to be people taken higher than what we all thought. There's going to be guys taken lower than what we all thought. There's going to be trades we didn't anticipate. It makes it fun. It's a fun night. And it's one of the reasons my buddies all come over to my house every year to watch it. It's the only non-sporting event we do that for. But all my friends come over. And every year we do the draft. We're going to do it this year. I get those mini helmets you can get. You can get them at like the sporting goods stores. I got all those. I got some old ones too in case teams have multiple picks in the first round. And I line up the 32 helmets in a row on the little thing in front of the TV. And then each pick, I take the helmet away for who's up next. Then I make a big grease board. I got a big, or like a poster board I'll go get at Publix or Target or whatever. And I'll write down 1 through 32, then on the other side of the board, I'll write all the names, potential first-round draft picks. I put a lot of effort into this. I hang that on the wall next to the TV. My buddies love it. And my son helps. He gets involved with it now, too. It is fun, you know, especially in this football desert we're in. You know, you look forward to it. And we don't know what's going to happen. So, yeah, very possible the Bucks trade down from 27. Possible they make a pick. A lot of that depends on what is still there. And a lot of it depends on what Jason Light is thinking, which we don't know. So what did he say earlier this week when he was talking to the media? He didn't give up much, but there was one quote that was a little bit interesting. And he was talking in generalities about the depth of this draft versus other drafts and how good of a draft is this and blah, blah, blah. And he said, and I'm roughly paraphrasing, he said, there may not be 30 guys in this draft worthy of a first-round pick, but then you've got a ton of good players available in the middle rounds. And he was trying to say that it's a deep draft. He wasn't trying to knock the first-round talent. Maybe that's all it was, or maybe if you're really trying to, like, read really deeply into things, and, you know, I think he knows exactly what he's saying at all times, so he's not going to give any hints he doesn't want to give. But maybe you think he's saying, well, you just said you don't think there's 30 first-round guys, and you're picking, if you're picking fifth, that doesn't matter, but if you're picking 27th, that's kind of telling, if you think Light is willing to say anything telling. Maybe he's saying, yeah, we're cool, you know, not drafting anybody at 27, or maybe not. I mean, it just depends. And we went down the list last week, but, I mean, if you look at what the Bucks really need, because you got to think about not just this year. I mean, you should always be thinking about this year, of course. But you ought to be thinking about the future of your franchise as well. And, you know, the Bucks are, like I said, they have some cap issues. They're going to have some people that have to bite the bullet coming up in the next few years. And they've got some positions that are going to be hard to replenish if they're not already hard to replenish now. So we know they need interior defensive line. And, you know, the most uneventful, predictable scenario is if Devontae Wyatt is there at 27. You take him from Georgia, like I said, we talked about him last week, you know, a guy who can rush the passer from the middle a little bit and still stop the run, whereas Jordan Davis is more of a single-use run-stuff guy, and he's a hell of a run-stuff guy. And maybe his pass rushing will come around, but, I mean, even at Georgia, where he was dominant as a run-stopper, he didn't really do a ton in the defensive backfield. But if Devontae Wyatt is there, okay, great, there's your guy. But you've also got Logan Hall, who could be had maybe in the second round from Houston. But that's a definite need you can point to. Defensive tackle needs to be drafted with one of the first two picks because the Bucks, even if you get Sue back this year and you get away with it this year, like, okay, I mean, every single guy we're relying on, I mean, we got Sue, you know, Golston. I know that maybe Steve McClendon could be brought back. If you name whoever you want, they're all 30-plus, right? I mean, they don't have any young guys. This is an aging, you know, group up front. And even if you get production, I mean, I remember watching the Rams game and the final play of our season from scrimmage, which was a horrible play, the play over the top, of course, to Cooper Kupp that ended up losing the game for us. But who was the one guy on the field making a play on that play? It was Sue getting penetration, not the blitz. It was Sue pushing through there. So, you know, if he comes back, that's great. And I still think the Bucks want to get him back. We'll see how it works out. But the point is, these guys are aging. You've got to get defensive tackle. Tight end's another one. And again, same scenario. Gronkowski, okay, well, let's say we get away with it and he comes back. And I think he's coming back for one more season. You still have just him and Cam Brady, who's coming off the worst season of his career. And Cody McIlroy is the other one, right? And he's, you know, we don't have a body of work on him yet. So, I mean, and heaven forbid Gronkowski either doesn't come back or he gets hurt or something, which is very, very easy to envision. You got to have it so, again, first, maybe not first round, but by Friday, there ought to be a DT and there ought to be a tight end in the shopping cart. That's a given, you know? But then there's less obvious ones. Like, I know, you know, you look at cornerback, and I've said this before, I will never, ever, 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 ever complain about drafting good corners. And the Bucks, right now, of course, they just re-up with Carlton Davis, so he's good to go. But Jamel Dean, Sean Murphy Bunting, both free agents at the end of next season. That doesn't mean they won't be back. They could be re-signed. But again, you're going to have salary cap issues. So there's a good chance you don't get both of them back. You may not be able to, even if you like them and want them. So cornerback, never going to complain. I don't think they'll do it in the first round, but I'm not going to complain. What about safety? All right. The Bucks are okay for now. Like I said, they took care of some things. They got Logan Ryan and Keanu Neal in the offseason here after losing Jordan Whitehead, but they've already said Logan Ryan's not there to replace Jordan Whitehead. So you know, what Logan Ryan, I guess, slot, you know, rotated safety, but also the slot guy. Mike Edwards, you know, what's his situation? Is it going to be just a rotation to go along with Antoine Winfield? And Keanu Neal, and remember, this they got Keanu Neal from the Falcons, and Neal's great. I mean, I like Keanu Neal as a Gator, and they got him on a one-year deal. Not that expensive, but I mean, safety's an important position in Todd Bowles' defenses. Like, that's not something you just, oh, whatever. So, would I complain if they drafted somebody, even in the first round, let alone if they didn't trade down? Like, let's say they took somebody at 27, it's a safety. Lewis Cine from Georgia, I like him. There's the a couple other guys that are possibility. These are all things you could do. So, I mean, the guard, I forgot the guard thing. Now, the guard thing, I think they feel, there's another thing just going off of what Jason Light said, because, like I said, you can't tell much, but it felt like he was trying to say, in some of his other comments, he mentioned how well Aaron Stinney did on a Super Bowl team, filling in for injury that year. He mentioned Nick Leverett. They got Shaq Mason at the right guard spot to fill to take that spot from Alex Kappa. They still have to replace left guard. But it sounds like they feel like they have enough in-house. Not to say they wouldn't draft. I think if one of those two guards we mentioned last week, Zion Johnson, Kenyon Green, those are the big two. There's like a drop-off after those two for guards. If either of those two was available at 27, I would totally not be surprised if they drafted one of them. But if they're not, I don't think they freak out and just take the next guard. Light made it sound like he's cool with going with either Stinney or Leverett or even Hainsey, who hasn't played guard. He played tackle, and he's played center even a little bit, but he hasn't played guard. But he could, you know, they could do that. So it's not a total freak out thing. Now, you know, what. You're a Joe Bucks fan right now. Like, there's an article up there. I think it's the second. Well, it might not be by the time you listen to this show, but the second item on Joe Bucks fan right now. Would Zion Johnson, he's the guard from Boston College, make Tom Brady happy? And Joe writes about that in the piece on JoeBucksFan.com. And you wouldn't be doing something specifically to make Tom Brady happy. You'd be doing it because you think he's a good player who can help you. And Dame Brugler, who's just a guy, but in his draft preview, he's the draft guy for The Athletic. He said this guy's a 10-year starter in the NFL, like plug and play, you're good to go. Kind of the same, kind of the Tristan Wirfs version of a guard, or guard version of Tristan Wirfs, I should say. And not that you know that to be true just because somebody says it, but if that was true, I mean, you'd take that guy in a heartbeat in the first round, right? Now, we've seen the Bucks. I mean, Jason Light's done it before, go small school, go second or third day, get good guys. You can probably do that too. So I wouldn't be against it if he was available somehow. Absolutely not. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out. But I mean, there, you know, there's a handful of safeties that I like. There's a handful of two guards. Devontae White, a defensive tackle, realistically is probably the only one they'd get at 27. There's corners. You know, there's always people. Tight end's the one I actually wouldn't rush just personally, just because I don't think anybody's that good. But also, there's plenty of decent ones. So I wouldn't want to see them. Even the second round, I'd be okay if they didn't do anything at tight end, because they're okay there for now, assuming Gronkowski is coming back, which, well, I don't say appears, but I think that he will. But either way, it's all going to come to a head on Thursday night. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's the first real footballish thing in a while, unless you count the USFL, which, by the way, I watched, okay, even though the Bandits game got delayed a couple times and didn't eventually get played till Monday night, which was great, I thought. I think they should put a Monday night game on all the time. But it was fun. You know, obviously it's a brand new team. The Bandits name and logo and colors, you know, if you're somebody who grew up here like I did, you can't just be onto a team overnight. You know, it doesn't just happen overnight. It's like the same thing with the, what was it, the Vipers. I had to think of the name for a second. When we had the Vipers, it wasn't like, hell yes, Vipers, like the first day, you know. And then the league folded, so it never really happened. But, you know, it takes time. So I didn't just flip the TV on and, you know, with my little Bandits pennant, which I still have, and sit there and you know, fan dork out or something. But just instinctively, you see that little TB on the score strip on the bottom of the screen? That's a Tampa team. I'm rooting for them. And they did a good job. They beat Pittsburgh. But, you know, we'll see if it really is weird having them all play the one stadium. Like, I know they want to save money the first year, but for it to truly feel like your team, they got to play in your actual town. So if they do get to the point where they play games here in Tampa, I think that'd be great. But I enjoyed the broadcast. I don't know what anybody else thought. It wasn't high-level football, as any spring league wouldn't be, but it was football, and football is always better than no football. I thought the unis looked pretty okay. I wish they'd really just carbon copy the original ones. Some of the tweaks I didn't care for, but that's a minor thing. And, the drone footage was cool, although with the rain delays and everything. Well, first of all, you're asking people in Birmingham to go watch four games every week when only one of them is the actual Birmingham team. So you're not going to get a lot of people for these other games that don't involve the Birmingham team. Then second of all, it got bumped an extra night to a weeknight without prior notice. And Monday night football, it ain't, even though it was literally on Monday night. So, you could hear the drone. Like, the drone wasn't just providing footage. You could actually hear it every play going, because there was barely anybody there. But it was cool the way they followed the ball with it a few times, some things like that. Always nice hearing guys mic'd up. Always nice hearing play calls before they happen. And, hearing the announcers do their thing and calling out some of the plays. Joel Klatt was doing that when he was listening to the play calls. It was okay, all right? I'll be back next week. Hell yes, I'll be back next week. More football. Football, football, football. I'll take it. But obviously the draft is the big story here. And then the schedule release should be after that, which we got a little bit of news on that front. And you already know this if you've been following Joe Bucks Fan or anybody involved with the Bucks. But the U.S. consulate, in a since-deleted tweet, but I don't think it changes anything, and it was posted, I think, Tuesday, or it might have been Wednesday, but they tweeted, hey, we had a great meeting. We're talking to the U.S. consulate from Germany. We're talking about, plans for our November 13th game in Germany, and we know that the Bucks are playing the game in Germany, so they kind of gave away the date there, so it appears as if Sunday, November 13th is the day on the schedule when the Bucks will play in Germany. I was thinking more like October-ish was more likely, but that falls in week 10, which tells us two things. It tells us the Bucks are playing in Germany on Sunday, November 13th in week 10, but it also tells us that the bye week is week 11, because you get your bye week after the Europe game if you have a Europe trip. So the Bucks get the late bye week again. Last time that happened, you probably remember, was 2020 when they had the late bye week, and they didn't lose a game after that. It's always, you don't want to go out there and play five games and get your bye week, and then you've got 13 straight weeks of football, then playoffs. You'd rather play as much as you can before and get that bye week later in the season. Not to say they're going to win the Super Bowl again because they have a late bye week, but I don't think it's a bad thing at all. And so I know I have a neighbor who's got, she's of German heritage, and she's a big Bucks fan, and she's been saying she wants to go to the game. She was excited to hear about the date, and I know a lot of people may be trying to make plans to go to Germany for the game, which is awesome. I've never been to Germany. I've been to London, not for a Bucks game, but I've seen, where they played, but I would love to do that if it, came up. It's right before Thanksgiving. It's going to be a big week, by the way, or month, I should say. I'm not a big soccer guy, but, the World Cup is in Qatar this year, and the World Cup is always in the summer. But, of course, since they put it in the middle of the desert, in a place that has no business being, by the way, that's a whole other thing. But it's like 120 in the shade in the summertime in Qatar. So they're playing a fall World Cup, which they've never done before. But it kind of is going to be cool. Like, it's going to be going on during football season. So there's already plenty going on, but still, there'll be more. The Thanksgiving holiday, I think Team USA or the U.S. national team, they play like the Friday after Thanksgiving, right before the Florida State-Florida game. They play England. So if you're a crossover sports fan, again, I'm not a huge soccer guy, but I do like the World Cup. Even if you're not a soccer fan, there's some interest there. You throw in the Bucks in Germany. There's a lot going on coming up in the fall. We just got to get through the summer. And of course, we've got things to do that too. We'll talk more about later on. But that's the only thing we know about the schedule right now, is that the Bucks will be playing, again, not officially, but that tweet seemed to indicate, let's say it that way, they'll be playing on November 13th in Munich, which is week 10. That gives you the bye week, week 11. Then you'd have seven straight games after that, weeks 12 through 18, to finish off the season. The rest of the schedule will be getting, I imagine, in the next few weeks. With Tom Brady coming back, the Bucks should hit, get their share of primetime games again and stuff like that. That was fun last year. I look forward to more of that this year. And, once you get something on paper that you can actually look at, it's always a little bit more exciting. But as for the draft next week, I'm looking at the top of the draft. I mean, right now, Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan's being, I'd say, projected a lot of years. You can pretty much say the opening draft pick before the draft, weeks before the draft even starts. This one's not for certain. You know, it's not a completely done deal on where he'll go, but it does appear he'd be the number one pick. But there's a few, if you go on the online betting markets and stuff like that, you can bet on the draft futures and things like that. It's not a year where there's a quarterback going up there, which to me is always a little bit less interesting when you don't have a, I mean, the guy could go to the Hall of Fame, any of those guys in the top five, but when there's quarterbacks as part of the calculus and which quarterback's going to go where, that's always a little bit more intriguing. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But at least there's the intrigue in that you don't know exactly who each of the first seven picks are going to be in the exact order, like certain years, because this year there is a lot of variation and a lot of possibilities. So we'll be back next week. I will probably, like I said, I'll wait. No need to do a show Thursday morning when there hasn't been a pick made yet. Instead, I'll wait and do it Friday after we know what the Bucks have done. So in the meantime, hey, use the draft as a chance to have some buddies over. Get together on a weeknight. Why not? You know, do what you used to do when you were in your 20s or in college. If you are in your 20s or in college, first of all, it's cool that we got young people listening. But second of all, do stuff with your buddies. You keep doing it. Don't stop. You don't know how great you have it. And I encourage everybody to have some fun with it. And that goes for this coming weekend, too. We got a little bit less going on than usual, but still something. And it's a great chance to get ready for draft week. So be safe. Have fun. I'll be back next week. Thank you to the Joes for the platform, the single best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, joebucksfan.com. Thanks to our good friends of Bill Curry Ford and Sean Sullivan, the GM. Thanks to all of you for listening. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.